All right, we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 through 35. The Bible said, "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth, and you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves will be thrown out. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south. They will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there will be those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." And he replied, "Go tell that fox, 'I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Lord, we come to you this morning. We celebrate you, and we celebrate all the ladies that are here and have given so much to raise us, and that you gave the most that we might be gathered to you. We give you praise this morning, Lord, and we ask that you would indeed guide us, that we might understand the purposes you have for us, how you would equip us, Lord, find success and victory in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Jesus was challenged by the Jews in Jerusalem. They were unwilling to come to him. They rejected him. I recall being 18 years old and my mother struggling with me. My father was in prison and I was a little bit out of control. Stolen a truck, woke up in jail. My mother trying everything that she could do to gather me, and I just would not. I think sometimes many mothers can relate to these verses that Jesus, these words that Jesus spoke, "How I long to gather you, but you were not willing." We're in this series called Finding Fire, and sometimes all we find is failure. Amen? Sometimes it's a cycle. We talked about Moses last week, talked about God empowering just a regular guy, a guy who was a shepherd, a guy who had fled from Egypt, who had killed an Egyptian, a murderer, a coward, living in fear, living on the backside of a mountain. God used him to set his people free. God can use Moses. Now, when you think of Moses, man, you think of a superstar. You think of like a superhero kind of guy, but he didn't start off that way. And maybe you don't feel like that today. But God can turn you into a superhero. Amen. God can empower you and equip you for having massive, massive impact for the people that are around you. A regular person. Empowered to impact the people around them. We talked about the Israelites. Children of Israel had gone into slavery. They were the chosen people of God. And yet still, they were able to find failure. They failed in the wilderness. They failed in the land. And I will let you know this morning that you will always be able to find failure when you are separated from God. It will find you. This is a study in the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And as we study this, God will come right into your life and make a change. make a transformation. The Holy Spirit would come and dwell in you. And the question is really whether or not you want that to occur. Because as my mom was trying to rein me back from crime and drugs and all the stuff I was doing, I was thinking I could make it through. I was thinking as I woke up in jail, I'll make it through this. I'm okay. Now, I got to let you know, when you wake up in jail, that's a little bit of a sign you're not okay. Can I get a witness on that? Now, you can lie to yourself. But what you're doing is finding failure. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Failure can become a habit. Going back to Numbers. Numbers is the book after Exodus, okay? So we did this Exodus thing last week. We talked about the mountain of God. We talked about the time they spent before the mountain of God and all that God did there. And as they left the mountain, we take a look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 20 through 23. And the Bible says, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them. God is talking to Moses, and God is mad. God is angry at the children of Israel, the children that he has made, the nation that he has made because of their sin. He says, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, not one of these men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. They will die in the wilderness. We're talking about 2 to 3 million Israelites. He's saying, you're not going to make it out. Why? They were lost in the wilderness. He said, no one who saw my miracles in Egypt and my glory. Now, that is a picture of what the people of Israel might have seen as the fire of God and as the presence of God descended on the mountain of God. 3 million people gathered around. The earth is shaking, the mountain is shaking, there's sound, there's a trumpet blast. We talked about this last week. And he's saying, I'm leading my people, I'm showing up. Bible also says that he led them by a pillar of fire at night and by a pillar of cloud during the day. And that there are these 3 million people that are being led through the wilderness. They spent about a year in front of the mountain of God, receiving the law, and they built the tabernacle so they could worship the Lord. And they just spend like a couple of months moving from the mountain of God, moving right up to the promised land, right up to Israel. And when they get there, good idea. They send men into the land to spy it out, to scope it out, say, this is what we're going to have. And they had 12 tribes. I'm going to have 12 fingers. They had 12 tribes of the Israelites, and they sent one person from each of the tribes. And they went in, and they came back, and they said, man, it is so cool. Man, it is indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants there. We'll never be able to take it. We should turn around and go back to Egypt. We should turn around and go back to slavery. And that is why God's anger is burning against the Israelites. He goes, man, I set you free. I set you up. I guide you and I lead you, and you're afraid of those guys. Now, Caleb and Joshua brought the report, Numbers 14, 8, and 9. If the Lord is pleased with us, he's saying, don't worry about the guys. Don't worry about these giants. And they were regular size. I mean, they might have been big, whatever. They weren't like 18 feet tall. He said, we are like grasshoppers to them. That's how we view ourselves. He says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. He says, their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. The land was ready to be taken. The people were quaking in fear. God had held back the Israelites until their sin, the sin of the Amalekites, became full, and he removes his hand of protection from them and says, go, I'm giving you this land. And what the people are saying, we don't know if we can really trust you, God. Sometimes we say that with our tithe. I don't know if I can really trust you, God. How many of you have found that God is indeed trustworthy? Amen. Oh, amen, amen. But yet still, every time, it's like, oh, I don't know, Lord. My last 20. God says, you know how many 20s I got? Whew. So you're gonna draw near to the Lord. It's going to have to be a change that happens inside of you. The Israelites were headed towards certain victory. Certain victory. Guaranteed victory. And yet they found only defeat. You will find there is victory for you in the Lord. Opposition is huge. It will require you learning how to lean upon the power of God to find that victory. That's why we're studying the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is why we're talking about the plan of God for our lives, so that we can go into situations of great opposition and find that victory. Amen? Amen. You find yourself in that situation? Overwhelming odds? You respond with less than faith, you'll find defeat every time. All right. Reading from Judges. This is, okay, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. Then you have Joshua, then you have Judges. And this is after they have been into the land. All right. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Then the Israelites did evil. Would you say evil with me? There is evil that you can do. You know, our media, you know, they tell us, hey, man, everything you do is just fine. Amazingly, Bible tells us there's evil that you can do in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger. You know, if anybody's going to be mad at you, the last person you want mad at you is God. Can I get a witness on that? They were lost in the wilderness. They were lost in the land. They came to the promised land. They moved to the place where God was leading them, and yet they still are finding failure. Seven times we read that the Israelites, the children of Israel, God's nation, God's chosen people, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They were doing stuff that was angering God, and he was looking. It's like a little kid, man. The boys out there, I can't remember their names right now. All these ladies' kids out there. There's that crew of 4 and 5-year-olds, Isaac, and then there's Jose and all these kids. And I got those paddle balls, right? And I remember Isaac, man. He's there on Wednesday, and he's taking my paddle, man, and just whacking it, bam, bam, on the block wall. Now, I can hear him, you know? I mean, he's over here, and I'm hearing whack, 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 and I'm going, Isaac, and he's like surprised. It's like they don't realize we got ears, you know? And it's like when they're disobedient and mama comes running, you know, it's like, whoa, I didn't even know. And that's what the Israelites are doing with God. They are sinning. They are doing evil in the eyes of God. I don't know what you're trying to get away with, folks. But whatever you're trying to get away with, God knows and God sees. You are separated from God. You are not ever going to find success and victory. It's not going to work out. Bible tells us why they failed. Because they had not completely taken the land. They had left some of their enemies around them. In fact, the Bible says that they enslaved some of them. They said, oh, we won't kill you, but you can work for us. God says you can't live right alongside your enemies. They're going to mess you up. They're doing stuff. The reason that there is no more protection for them is because they are so vile and sinful. They're in your land, but you got to get rid of them. He says, Judges 2:3, therefore I tell you, I will not drive out them before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. Why were they in trouble? Because they were worshiping the foreign gods. God, our God, is a jealous God. Can I get a witness on that? I don't know what you got in your life that is more important than God, but he's a jealous God. And God has got the ability to remove that thing that you love so much. Amen? We got some bad stuff. Sometimes, the heat that we feel comes from the Lord. As a result of their disobedience from God, God handed them over to their enemies. They're not going to be your slaves anymore. They're going to be your masters. All he had to do, he says, you want to live with your enemies? There you go. Your protection is gone now. He didn't have to send anything bad their way. All he had to do was just stop protecting them, and all of a sudden, seven times, over and over and over, they become subject to their enemies. You want to live with your enemies? There you go. You can be their slaves. And after a taste of that, they would come running back to God. While Pastor Dave's been gone, I've been watching the boys for Celebrate Recovery. And it's Andon and Elijah, and then three, four boys that are, five and down. And oh man, they had the plastic, the wiffle ball bats out the other day, and they're doing this, and they're trying to throw, and I give them the big paddle thing so they could actually hit the ball. And it's like, yeah, victory, and all this, and Jair was out there, they want to be set free. They just want to find that success and that victory. Little boys, right? Even him right there sitting there. But I tell you what, they go boom, they knock their head on something. You know what they want? They want mama. Where is mama? I need mama. And then I got to keep them out of the class. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. But in the same way, God takes his protection off of his people. And bad things start coming their way, and finally it gets bad enough. And they start going, Lord, we got to line back up on you. Lord, we want to make changes to line up on you. Amen? I got a spot for that boy back there. He can yell and dance and scream and yell back there behind that window. Amen. See, it's a whole thing, and we can hear. Yeah, you don't even get it. All right. People are still finding failure. Israelites found failure. People still doing that. I got several verses to read from you out of Romans chapter 1. Verse 24 says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. We make movies about that now. Romans 1:26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts, even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Notice, this is God turning people over to their sin. He had turned people over to their enemies. You live alongside your enemies, he's turned them over to that. You live alongside your sin, he's going to turn you over to that. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Now, we get into a little bit longer list here. Romans 1:28 through 32, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Wow, that's kind of getting a little bit more spread out than verses 24 and 26. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Israelites were lost in the wilderness. They were lost in the land. And we can be lost in sin. We move from the Old Testament, the old covenant, the old contract, the old deal that God had with the people, where they were a nation living around their enemies, and we move to this New Testament covenant, contract, or deal, and we see now God is dealing with sin in the very same way. That sin is those acts that distance us from God. And God, in his response, in his anger, in his distaste for that sin, says, oh, you want to live with sin. See, you can't grab on to God and grab on to your sin at the same time. Can I get a witness on that? And so what the Lord does is he just kind of takes his hands off of you and says, if that's what you want, you go ahead and do that. And we think, oh, man, you are kind and merciful. I didn't realize that you were okay with insert your sin here. Because I really thought you were going to slam me with that stuff, but you're cool with that. God says, oh, you want that? Take all you want. He turned them over to their sin. You can't live next to your enemies. And you can't live next to your sin. Amen? He says victory is the other way. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing. Would you say refreshing?
Refreshing.
Repent then, turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and that see, we think we're going to be refreshed with our sin. But we're not. How many of you have found that? Come to Celebrate Recovery, man. You will find out that it is indeed not refreshing, that actually it will consume you and devour you. I have found that out. Times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You're going to find success. You're going to find victory in your life. You have to make a change. You have to get away from sin. You can't get along with sin. God's not fine with sin. God is not fine with your sin, and you shouldn't be fine with sin. It is that sin in your life that is creating all the drama, all the challenge. We kind of want to take it out and play with it every once in a while and put it away, thinking we can control it. The Bible says that we have become slaves to sin, that we can't get set free. You got sin, it'll get you. You will find failure. But when you repent, and repent means to do an about-face, do a U-turn. Success is found, victory is found the other way. Start moving away from that sin, and times of refreshing will come. My son has a black car out there that he drives, and the driver's side window does not work. And the passenger side rear window does not work. And the air conditioning does not work. And he's been surfing lately and wants to drive my car, in which all the windows work and the AC works. And I guess I have been spoiled. But so I got it. I said, you know what? I think it's time to get the AC fixed in this thing. And took it on down to Jesus over there by the donut shop, and he fixed it up. AC for $70, not bad. Got in that thing. Front window don't work. Back window over here don't work. Kick the AC on. Times of refreshing come from God. So you do an about face from that sin, and God says, good choice. Let me give you an attaboy. Let me give you an attagirl. Come on up here, Adriana. Adriana got an attagirl this week. Mike, you want to make sure that this is on for me there, bud? Pastor Dave was talking about Celebrate Recovery. He said, you know what? If just for Adriana, celebrate recovery is worth it. God is doing a great work.
Yes.
Is doing a great work in Miss Adriana. And so, you know, I just heard the edge of this story. You were in the hospital the other day?
Last week on Tuesday, my friend was in the hospital. She was in the ER. And I went to go visit her at Scripps Mercy Hospital right here by Hillcrest. When I went to the receptionist, she was already released. And I had my surgery there about a year and a half ago. And when I had my surgery, I remember walking down to the chapel to go pray. And I was barely getting out of surgery, and I still went to go tell God to thanks for taking me out of my surgery good and everything. I was leaving already. My friend wasn't there. I was going on the car, to the car, and something just told me to go to the chapel. And I went to say thanks to God because now I'm not hurting no more, and my ovaries are good when they did my surgery. There was a lady praying in the prayer room on the side, like by herself, and I just went along like to go pray and say thank you to God and that I'm here and I'm changed and I'm not hurting. So I started leaving, and they have, like, you know, the prayer box, and you could write a note. I was writing this big old letter, like, saying thank you. And while I was writing that letter, God put in my heart to go and tell the lady that I am listening to you, that he hears her prayers. And before I would hesitate, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to go. But this time I said, okay, once I finished my letter, I went up to the lady and I said, excuse me, ma'am, do you speak English or Spanish? And she said, I speak both. And I told her in Spanish, so I said, God, Dios, quiere que te diga que Él te está escuchando y que Él va a ayudar a tu esposo que está pasando por las cosas que está pasando. And in English, I told her.
No, hold on. That sounds like more than just he's listening to your prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it in English.
I told her, God wants you to know that he's listening to your prayers and that he will heal him, your husband that's in the hospital. And she just started crying on me. And she wasn't crying when I was talking to her. She started crying once I told her that God hears her. And I told her, I had my little testimony. I told her I come to City Heights Assembly. I don't know why. I just told her, like, if anything, she could come and look for me one day. I told her I come to City Heights Assembly, and I had a surgery a year and a half ago, and they were going to take out my ovaries. But God helped me, and they just cleaned them out and put them back in. And I'm just here to say thanks to God because he does listen and he does hear us. And I just gave her a hug, and I left. And when I was leaving the parking lot, I felt, like, so good. I felt like I did something so good. So there were some other ladies that were going in the elevator. They were already sad, and I said God is good, and they still, like, didn't want to hear me. So when they were in the parking lot, I just went up to them, and I said, God bless you. And they had a big old smile. They're like, oh, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm all like, thanks. And I just went to my husband.
Amen. So when you got done, you said you felt so good. Times of refreshing. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Amen. You know, it's real stuff. I've been following the Lord 25 years about, and I am telling you that there is times of refreshing that come in the Lord that pale in comparison to anything else you can find anywhere else in your life. Amen? All righty. Here we go. God's plan for sin. Because sin is what is messing us up. Sin is what is keeping us from God. And we see that as a display as God calls his people and leads them to the land. And it is sin that just keeps them off track. Jesus dies on the cross and he writes to the church in Rome. And it's the sin that is keeping you off track. And so we go to Ezekiel and God's plan for transformation. He says, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart. Is that what you got, Adriana? A new heart?
Yes.
He says, I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. See, God's people have a pattern of failure. They have a pattern of sin, and it is a structural issue in which we are created for failure. We were created for success. Near is not close enough, is that blank if you're going to fill it in. God made the world, and it was good. He says it was very good, in fact. And I'll tell you what, you take a look at some of the incredible images on this planet, and you can see the hand of God. Amen? He put Adam and Eve on it. It was good. It was very good. But they sinned, and they decided to go their own way. As I said before, you can't grab onto your sin and keep a hold of God. You're going to have to go one way or the other. And God, at that point, knew. I mean, it's not like the sin of Adam and Eve caught him at unawares. That he was, oh, no, Adam and Eve have sinned. What are we going to do? Oh, geez, you're going to have to go. No. Created a people that had the capacity for choice. He chose a people that were living, a person, Abraham, that was living in, surrounded by sin, and says, look, you come and follow me, I will make you into a great nation. You, apart from all the other people, will be a nation unto me. And he leads them in miraculous way, and he leads them out in the wilderness, and they fail. And he leads them into the land, and they fail. And they build a temple in the land, and they fail. But it is that very failure that makes the opportunity for our success. Because Jesus came to a lost people. Jesus came to a people who had rejected him. Victory is possible. But the problem is inside of us. God wants you to know. He writes half this book, well, Old Testament, two-thirds, about his chosen people that do nothing but find failure after failure after failure. And he says, you cannot make it without me. God was close. They had built a tabernacle in the wilderness, a sacrifice with God. He led them by fire. He led them by smoke. He did miraculous things around them. He sent their prophets to them time after time after time, and they continually rejected him. They moved into the land. They built a temple for sacrifice. And it's still, they fell into failure again and again and again. To find the victory, there must be a transformation inside you. God says, I won't be close anymore. He says, I'll be right inside you. I will transform you from the inside out. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for hope and plans for a future. Do you want it? Or are you doing fine? I think I make it. I think I make this on my own. Biggest issue, sin. Sin's the barrier to your success. Sin is the barrier to your victory. Sin is the barrier to Jesus coming, the Holy Spirit coming and living inside you. So to resolve that, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, to be a sin offering for us. Jesus came, he knew no sin, but he became the perfect sacrifice. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, the distance that we have from God is inside of us. And until we are transformed inside of us, there's no way that we can draw near to him. Sin is the issue, and until Jesus came and died on the cross, the Holy Spirit couldn't guide us anyplace new. Because sin had to be addressed. There had to be a sacrifice. In fact, God takes the very distance of his chosen people, sends his son, and they respond by killing him. A testimony again of what? A failure of their distance from God. And they say, we're going to be close to God by killing his son. And he says, how twisted you have become. I was twisted. Woke up in the jail thinking, I think I'm doing okay. Maybe you are twisted, but the Lord says, I used the disobedience of my people. They took me and they beat me and they killed me. And I took that act and I used it so that you can be saved. I took that act. Jesus led a sinless life. He became the perfect sacrifice. He paid the price for your sin. He broke the chains of bondage to sin in our lives so that the Holy Spirit can come and draw you out of the darkness and into light. That is what is made available because of the cross. And that is how much God cares for you, in that when you were dead in your sins and your transgressions, He calls you to new life. We are going to study. Sam, you can come on up. We are going to be studying the Holy Spirit in the coming weeks. That transformation, that change that God makes in you, focused in three basic areas: salvation, sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that endowment with power. Salvation is when He puts that heart in you and that new spirit. As you work with that new heart and a new spirit, there is a transformation, a regeneration, a sanctification, a purification that happens in you. And then on top of that, He takes a power pack and pours it into your life so that you can be indeed supercharged to have impact for Him. Jesus said, "I would gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, as a mother cares for her young." My question for you this morning is, the Holy Spirit gathering you today? As I talk about sin and the separation from God and the choice that we make, that you can't grab onto your sin, you can't live next to your sin, you can't live next to your enemies. They will tear you down. Is the Lord saying, it's time for a change? And are you hearing Him? Adriana spoke so wonderfully about how it's just something in my heart that I need to go to that chapel. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go talk with that lady. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to you right now. And He is saying, it is time to come out of the darkness and into the light. Time for you to be transformed today. Nobody looking around. Lord, we come to you this morning. I am so glad that you had a plan for me. I'm so glad that you made a change in me and continue to make a change in me. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts this morning. Lord, that there are those that are here this morning that grabbing on to everything but you. Come for a Mother's Day, maybe find a father. The Lord's speaking to you this morning saying, time for change. You would say, that's me, Lord. I hear your voice, Dad. I'll come home today. Can't make it on my own. I'm not fine. I need a change from you. Nobody looking around. You're in the darkness. You're in danger. Lord says, I died on the cross for you. You take His new life this morning with nobody looking around. That's you. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. On Mother's Day, I want to find a father. In the back over here, I see that. Back over here, I see that. Anybody else? Right there. Here. In addition, Lord gathers us. Perhaps there's something you're living a little close to that's displeasing to God. You've been thinking, oh God, you're okay with this. And He's really not. You know He's not. You've always known that He's not. But realistically, you just haven't wanted to quit. Just haven't wanted to change. He's close. He has been guiding you, directing you, and trying to transform you, but you've been grabbing onto that sin. And the Lord this morning says, you're my child. But it's time to put away. Time to put away that childish thing. Time to let go of that and grab onto me. You know exactly what it is. Could be a drug. Could be anger, bitterness, resentment, gossip. Anything on that list I mentioned. Could be alcohol. Could be a relationship. Could be pornography. Could be gambling, eating. All kinds of things keep us from God. But right now on Mother's Day in 2014, Dad's making a call to you saying, you know what? This, it's time to go. Time to make a change in this area. God talking to you this morning? God saying, this is Dad calling. Maybe he's saying, by Father's Day, this needs to be fixed. We need to do some real work on this. It's been hampering you for a long time. He's right there saying, this aspect of your life is displeasuring. I find no pleasure in it. It's distasteful. It's disgusting to me. You're going to listen to me or you're going to listen to yourself? You're going to make a change or you're going to hold on to the old way? Lord, speaking right to your heart. You'd say on Mother's Day, by Father's Day, I'm going to have this dealt with, Lord, by your strength, by your power. If I got to go to celebrate recovery, if I need to find some help, if I got to talk to pastor, pastor's wife, one of the staff, whatever, Lord, I understand it is totally, totally distasteful for you. And I'm going to make this change. Nobody looking around. Lord, speaking right to your heart. You say, Lord, I hear you. I am going to be obedient. I'm not going to be like this anymore. I'd just like to have you just slide your hand up. Here, wow. You know what? On the inside of your bulletin, on the inside of your Bible, write that thing down, write Father's Day, and write that thing. I'll help you as much as I can. We got some people around here that will help you. Last thing, and we'll get out of here. We got a couple extra minutes, by the way. Mom's band's going to come on up. You guys can come. Perhaps you have made changes. Perhaps you have taken steps towards the Lord. You feel, you can totally relate with Adriana this morning. Whoo, yeah. Change is happening. Change is good. And you are just thinking, you know what, Lord? If there is more of you that is available, I want it. Lord, I want the double helping. Lord, I want to be filled and overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. I want to be used by you as a witness, Lord. The people around me, that's you this morning. There's already hands going up saying, yeah, that's me. Glory. Hallelujah. Turn that down, son.
Can you turn this down?
Go back there and handle that for a second, Mark. Wait a minute. Something just happened. There you go. They're going to sing, and we're going to remove that annoying noise. But you know what? I want to pray with you. You know, I'm going to pray and have all those people who want just to be filled with the Holy Spirit, have them just come up. We're going to sing a couple of songs. The moms are going to sing. And maybe you put your hand up earlier, and there's something in your life you need to change. You can just sneak on up. Say, you know what? I got to change this. And I will pray with you and anoint you with oil. And we'll see the Lord do a mighty work. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Moms, would you sing for us?